Welcome to Onc Live On Air. I'm your host today, Ashling Wehner. Onc Live On Air is a podcast from Onc Live, which provides oncology professionals with the resources and information they need to provide the best patient care. In both digital and print formats, Onc Live covers every angle of oncology practice, from new technology to treatment advances to important regulatory decisions. In today's episode, we had the pleasure of speaking with Vivek Sabaya, MD, an associate professor in the Investigational Cancer Therapeutics Department and the Clinical Medical Director of the Clinical Center for Targeted Therapy in the Division of Cancer Medicine at the University of Texas MD Anderson Cancer Center. Dr. Sabaya joined us to talk about selpercatinib in RET fusion-positive non-small cell lung cancer, thyroid cancer, and other solid tumors. On September 21st, 2022, the FDA granted regular approval to selpercatinib in adults with locally advanced or metastatic non-small cell lung cancer harboring a RET gene fusion. In addition, the FDA gave accelerated approval to the agent in adults with locally advanced or metastatic solid tumors with a RET gene fusion who have progressed on or after prior systemic treatment or who have no other satisfactory treatment options. These regulatory decisions follow the May 2020 accelerated approval of selpercatinib in RET fusion-positive non-small cell lung cancer, medullary thyroid cancer, and other thyroid cancers. The approvals were based on findings from the Phase 1-2 Libretto-001 trial, in which the agent elicited an overall response rate of 44% in all comers, with 4.9% of patients achieving a complete response and 39% achieving a partial response. In our exclusive interview, Dr. Sabaya discussed the significance of these approvals across solid tumor types, key efficacy and safety data from Libretto-001, and what the solid tumor treatment landscape will look like with selpercatinib in the armamentarium. Thank you, Dr. Sabaya, for speaking with us today. To start off, could you explain the significance of this approval?
Absolutely. Let's talk about tumor-agnostic or tissue-agnostic therapy. So what is tumor-agnostic therapy? A type of therapy that uses a drug or other substances used to treat cancer based on cancer's genetic and molecular features with regard to the cancer type or where the cancer started in the body. In a tumor-agnostic therapy, uses the same drug to treat all types of cancers that have the same genetic change, a biomarker that is targeted by the drug. So usually when we think about FDA approval for drugs, they are based on anatomic site like brain cancer, lung cancer, melanoma, etc. This is the standard approach. So recently, because of the development of biomarkers, gene rearrangements and genetic mutations, we have a new type of FDA approval, a new type of drug development called tissue agnostic drug development. And, you know, so far we have several drugs approved in a tissue agnostic manner. And that is why this is a major milestone in precision oncology. So on September 21, 2022, FDA granted accelerated approval to selpercatinib for adult patients with locally advanced or metastatic solid tumors with RET, which is also called rearranged during transfection gene fusion, that have progressed on or following prior systemic therapy and who have no satisfactory treatment options. Again, it is important that this approval was tumor agnostic for all RET fusion positive solid tumors, irrespective of the tumor type, regardless of the fusion partner, and regardless of prior therapy. The efficacy here was demonstrated based on the Libretto-001 trial, which was originally a multicenter, open-label, multi-cohort study that evaluated 41 patients with RET fusion-positive solid tumors, other than non-small cell lung cancer and thyroid cancer, with disease progression on or following prior systemic therapy, or who had no satisfactory alternative treatment options. In fact, the efficacy was based on a larger data set of 343 patients with RET positive non-small cell lung cancer and thyroid cancer enrolled in the same trial already that was described in the product labeling and already that received approval. And patients with selpercatinib receive selpercatinib until disease progression or toxicity. The primary efficacy measures for the tissue agnostic indication were dependent on overall response rate and duration of response as determined by a blinded independent review committee. Among the 41 evaluable patients, the objective response rate was 44% with a duration of response of 24.5 months. You know, we saw multiple tumor types that harbor RET fusions who benefited from this treatment, including difficult to treat pancreatic adenocarcinoma, colon cancer, salivary gland cancer, carcinoma of unknown primary, biliary tract cancer, breast cancer, soft tissue sarcoma, bronchial carcinoid, ovarian cancer, small intestine cancer, xanthogranulomas, and cholangiocarcinoma. Here, the median age was 50 years with a range from 21 to 85, and 54% were female and 4.9% enrolled on the study were Black, and almost universally, most of them had an ECOG performance status of 0 or 1. 95% of the patients had metastatic disease. Again, the most common adverse reactions in this, greater than 25% of patients, were edema, diarrhea, fatigue, mouth sores. And based on this compelling data, the drug selpercatinib, which was approved earlier in 2020 for RET fusion positive non-small cell lung and RET positive thyroid cancer, now approved for all cancers, irrespective of the tumor type, as long as they harbor the RET gene fusion positivity.
What is the mechanism of action of selpercatinib?
What right now we have is genome-driven precision oncology has transformed the landscape of many solid tumors. In recent years, some therapies have been recognized to yield clinically meaningful efficacy in the setting of a biomarker. So this led to the development of several tissue-agnostic drugs. Approvals to date include anti-PD-1 antibody, for instance, Keytruda or dostarlimab, for tumors harboring the mismatch repair deficiency or microsite satellite instability. And recently, pembrolizumab was also approved for a tumor mutation burden high greater than 10 mutations per base pair. And these were immunotherapy approvals for a genomic biomarker. The first targeted therapy to be approved in a histology-independent manner was TRK inhibitors, the larotrectinib and entrectinib for NTRK fusion-positive tumors. Most recently, 2-3 months ago, we saw that BRAF inhibitor in combination with MEK inhibitor, dabrafenib and trametinib, was approved in a histology-independent manner for tumors harboring a BRAF V600E alteration. RET fusions are constitutively activated in many cancers. Again, there are tumor types called the anchor tumor types, where we see 1 to 2% of RET fusions in non-small cell lung cancer, and 5 to 10% of cases of papillary thyroid cancers and poorly differentiated thyroid cancer, among others. Beyond these anchor tumor types of lung cancer and thyroid cancer, you know, RET fusions have been observed in many, many cancer types in 1% across multiple cancers, including cancer of the breast, colon, esophagus, ovarian cancer, prostate, stomach, pancreas, salivary gland, connective tissues, and many histiocytic neoplasms as well. Here, systemic activity of RET inhibitors has not been explored in a prospective basket study. Selpercatinib, when you ask the mechanism of action, is a highly selective CNS penetrant RET inhibitor, specifically designed to treat RET altered cancers. And if you see the kinome, it has high selectivity for RET and spares several of the kinases. It's been shown to have preclinical activity in RET fusion positive of lung, thyroid, and many other cancers. And we saw that RET fusions are targetable oncodrivers in non-small cell lung cancer and thyroid cancers. And in the Basket Libretto-001 trial, this registrational study showed that selpercatinib is a tissue-agnostic drug. And also, this validates RET fusions as tissue-agnostic targets. So what we saw was the activity of selpercatinib in a broad variety of RET fusion-positive solid tumors is clinically meaningful here, providing durable response in patients with previously treated standard of care therapies or for whom we have no standard of care. These findings emphasize the importance of broad-based genomic profiling to identify patients with red fusions who might benefit from selpercatinib treatment. Again, in my personal opinion and personal view, we need universal genomic testing to identify these actionable alterations, such as red fusions, in patients with cancer.
How does this agent fulfill unmet needs in the non-small cell lung cancer and other solid tumor populations?
As I said earlier, red fusions are 2% of non-small cell lung cancer and 10 to 20% of red fusion positive thyroid cancer that include papillary thyroid cancer and well-differentiated thyroid cancer. Previous to the development of selective RET inhibitors such as selpercatinib, we used mainly multi-kinase inhibitors like cabozantinib, vandetanib, lenvatinib, sorafenib, and all the ABEs that had RET kinase activity, but with the liability of multiple other kinases that hindered or hampered our ability to go up on the dosing to inhibit RET. So because of the multi-kinase activity of these agents, all the patients who received these multi-kinase inhibitors had many, many side effects like QT prolongation, hand-foot syndrome, mouth sores, hypertension, and these we call as off-target side effects. And to overcome the off-target side effects, selective RET inhibitors were designed and entered clinical trials in 2017. And, within 3 years, we had an FDA approval of the first selective RET inhibitor in non-small cell lung cancer and thyroid cancer. Again, when we compare the selective RET inhibitors like selpercatinib with multi-kinase inhibitors, the dose reduction rates, the drug discontinuation rates, and the quality of life of patients is much different and much better. So again, these designer precision medicines have definitely conferred the gift of time to patients with non-small cell lung cancer. Two sets of patients were enrolled in the non-small cell lung cancer cohort. One is treatment refractory RET fusion patients with non-small cell lung cancer and treatment naive patients with non-small cell lung cancer. The study showed that selpercatinib was efficacious in both a treatment naive patient population and treatment refractory patient population, and the side effect profile was reasonably well tolerated, leading to FDA approval of this agent for non-small cell lung cancer.
What is most notable from the updated efficacy data of LIBRETTO-001?
The updated efficacy data continues to show that selpercatinib, a selective RET inhibitor, continues to be active in RET-positive malignancies. And this seminal study of selpercatinib adds to the growing body of evidence of literature that basket trial approach to targeted therapy development is feasible in many contexts, including lung cancer, thyroid cancer, and rare cancers. And this uncovers insights into therapeutic actionability of an alteration across cancer types at enrollment and provides access to underserved patient groups for whom standalone histology-specific studies are infeasible.
What were some of the common adverse effects seen with selpercatinib, and would the safety profile deter you from using this agent in any patients?
Herein, we weigh the benefit versus the risk, right? In patients with RET fusion positive lung cancer and thyroid cancer, when we compare the options of multi-kinase inhibitors with chemotherapy and these selective RET inhibitor targeted therapies, the side effects are very well tolerated and reasonably well tolerated. The most common grade 3 adverse event or worst treatment adverse event was hypertension in 10 out of 45 patients in the diverse tissue agnostic cohort. We saw some patients with increased LFTs, alanine aminotransferase, and increased aspartate aminotransferase. And we were able to manage these patients by dose reducing or holding the drug and rechallenging them at a low dose and slowly titrating them to a higher dose. Again, treatment emergent adverse events occurred in 40% of the patients, and no treatment-related deaths occurred. So overall, considering the benefit and the risk profile and the side effect profile of this drug, we have treated hundreds of patients, at least several cancers with selective RET inhibitors and multi-kinase inhibitors combined. So again, my personal experience is that these patients do tolerate selective RET inhibitors reasonably well than the available multi-kinase inhibitors.
How do you see selpercatinib fitting into the current treatment landscape in these populations?
What we have shown here is RET alterations are clinically validated, actionable oncogenic drivers in lung cancers and thyroid cancers and all other cancers harboring RET alteration. And selpercatinib has shown to be beneficial in lung cancer, thyroid cancer, and multiple other cancers. The study and the data set show that RET fusions are oncogenic drivers in all cancers, including lung, thyroid, and many cancers like pancreatic cancer and colorectal cancer. And selpercatinib is potentially effective treatment for RET fusion positive cancers, regardless of the tumor type, regardless of prior therapy, regardless of fusion partner.
Sure. Is there any ongoing research at MD Anderson that you're excited about?
Yes. The thing is that right now we are excited about the drug approval so that this drug is accessible to all patients, not just on trials, but any patient in the US who has and harbors a RET positive alteration can access selective RET inhibitor as standard of care. Beyond that, what we are excited about is development of the second generation selective RET inhibitors. Again, although we are excited by all these new therapies that confer promising responses in patients, cancer evolves and develops resistance. And what we call as on-target resistance and off-target resistance. So we've identified in collaboration with several other groups on-target resistance mechanisms and off-target resistance mechanisms. And we are working hard to see how we can overcome these resistance mechanisms. So what we are looking forward is the next generation of therapies that can overcome the resistance mechanisms to the first generation selective RET inhibitors so that we have a pipeline of agents for patients who benefit from RET inhibitor therapy and those who develop resistance to RET inhibitor therapy, and so that we can offer customized therapies for our patients.
That's all we have for today. Thank you for listening to this episode of OncLive On Air. Check back on Mondays and Thursdays for exclusive interviews with leading experts in the oncology field. For more updates in oncology, be sure to visit www.onclive.com and sign up for our e-newsletters. OncLive is also on social media. On Twitter, follow us at OncLive and at OncLiveSOSS. On Facebook, like us at OncLive and OncLive State of the Science Summit, and follow our OncLive page on LinkedIn. If you liked today's episode of OncLive On Air, please consider subscribing to our podcast on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Google Podcasts, Amazon Music, and many of your other favorite podcast platforms so you get a notification every time a new episode is posted. While you're there, please take a moment to rate us. Thanks again for listening to OncLive On Air.